This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're hanging out with the coolest heroes in a half shell, and they're green. From 1989, we're playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles by Konami / Ultra Games for the NES. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the co-host that does machines, it's Todd Brisket.
I can't believe that this is the first time we are covering a game about the Fab Four of Karate-dom.
Yes, the Karate Masters themselves. And our other co-host, he's cool but crude. Give me a break. It's Huell Hauser.
Prepare to shell out some punishment.
Oh, well done. Well done. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. We need to purchase the complete Die Hard collection, even the two crappy ones that nobody likes. This week's game is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Released in 1989 as part of the emerging Ninja Turtles juggernaut, the NES game sold more than 4 million copies. According to Wikipedia, that ranks it 8th all-time for the platform, behind only first-party games released by Nintendo. Now, it's a bestseller despite some odd aspects and a pretty punishing difficulty level. This was a game I slaved over as a kid, but never beat. Huell, I think you said you were playing this game for the first time, though, so how'd you like it?
Yeah, it is odd. This is my first time playing it. I say it's odd because NES is the first system we owned in the baby Huell household.
Were you a Ninja Turtle kid?
And getting to that, as the sweetest little baby boy, I was a huge Ninja Turtles fan. So it's strange that this game never crossed our threshold. But it's probably for the best because I never would have been able to do anything in this game if I played it as a tiny Huell. Because it's pretty hard. Pretty difficult.
Pretty hard.
Yeah, I was very bad at this.
The Sunset Riders second stage ramp up in difficulty, and this follows the same pattern. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that much. I think it's just hard right from the start. I mean, it's not like overwhelmingly crazy, but like it's just unrelenting.
Yes. The first stage I was able to beat pretty consistently as a kid. But that second stage immediately is hard. Like,
are you talking about underwater?
Yes. Underwater stage.
So I never really got past the first level. per se, but I was watching a video of that swimming under the Hudson River thing, and it looks ridiculous.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Because there's a time limit, first of all.
Yep.
Of like 2 minutes, or 2:15 or something, and you have to like perfectly time going through the classic video game on off electric fence kind of things, along with avoiding enemies and that stuff. And I'm like, wow.
And seaweed covering the entire wall.
Like, the whole second half of it, it's just like you can't touch the walls or you lose health.
It's it's like a bad video game version of Operation.
Yeah.
Like, the second you touch the seaweed, it just makes, like, this loud screeching noise.
It's like the worst of video games is in one level.
I was so bad at that level as a kid. Yeah, you basically there's very little margin for error in that stage. I think if you hit everything almost perfectly, you have like 30 seconds left or so.
Yeah, I was looking at a dude doing a speed run, and he had like 25 seconds left.
Oh God!
It's like what normal human would be able to do this?
Yeah. But you know, up until that point, it's, you know, the first stage is tricky. But, you know, you can kind of memorize patterns and, bully your way through it. But then...
Yeah, you say Matt memorizing patterns, because it's not, I wouldn't say it's open world, but it's not linear. Mm-hmm. It's pretty... I got, like, stuck in a dead end once, and I'm like, what am I even doing? Because you have, like, an open world, like, top... Well, it's not open, but it's a top-down map kind of thing. You can go in various... manholes.
Yep.
And you don't even have to go in all of them. There's even a building you can go in that you don't have to, like,
Yeah.
You're just trying to get to the end of the level, and it's not linear. So you can get messed up. You can get kind of stuck or killed somewhere that you didn't even have to go to.
Yeah.
There's so much potential in having this as an open world game, but it's squandered in being trapped and being lost.
Well, it's tough to do on the NES. I mean, I guess you had Zelda, and like that's about it.
Well, it's kind of a weird first effort for a series in that it's it reminds me more of like Castlevania 2 or Zelda 2, where those games, you know, they're kind of fun, but you wander around lost all the time.
Right.
Oh yeah, this definitely a Castlevania 2 vibe for this one. Mm-hmm. The gameplay, like plot and story, don't know where you're going. You have to go and get a certain item in a certain building that you have no idea where it is.
Yep.
No idea.
Yeah, and like, oh god, it gets way worse in the third and fourth stages. Actually, I think the fourth stage might be somewhat normal. I think it's the third and the fifth stage where
I see another underwater swimming level. Which one are you referring to?
Oh, I don't think there's another underwater level. I think, but
I'm looking at the manual.
Oh well,
do you dare? Question the sanctity of these pages.
I sometimes do. The third stage is just it's like four or five times the size of the first level.
Oh yeah.
And you basically have to do a couple things. I think you have to find some grappling hooks so mm-hmm. that later on in the open world third level you can cross a building to save Splinter, I think.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Never did it.
And then, oh God, the fourth level, I think, is an airfield with you basically have to, you start it around entrance one, like they're numbered, and I think you have to end up near number 30 or so.
Yeah, it's the JFK International Airport.
Yeah, this is a hyper-realistic representation of the airport.
Yes,
they went there. JFK International. It's like how in GTA 4 they went on location and took photographs and just video just so they could recreate it so accurately in the game.
Oh, yes.
They did the same thing for this.
Yeah.
They went to the airport, mapped it out, made sure they had every part right.
and just to fully describe this, Huel, since I kind of cut you off earlier, the game starts with a kind of top-down map. With mm-hmm. your turtle is a tiny character on the map, and you can wander around. You can there are foot soldiers and vehicles that you can slash and attack and try to avoid. But then you can enter a sewer, and once you enter a sewer, it switches from the top down view to a side scroller, a side scroller beat 'em up / platform game.
Yeah, it's a little bit more of a platformer, just with way too many enemies.
Yeah, the side-scrolling platformer, that is the main, I'd say, 80% of the gameplay.
Yeah, it's where you're doing all the work.
Yes, and as you mentioned, Huel, like, the enemies are hellacious. Not not necessarily because they're really tough, but because they respawn like crazy, like in Castlevania.
Yeah, you go 4 pixels in the wrong direction and then go back, there's like 20 more dudes popping out.
Yep.
That you just killed.
Yes. And just like Castlevania, if you get hit by an enemy, you get flung backwards a tiny bit, which is also a problem because you have to do a ton of precision jumping in this game.
Yes.
Like an uncomfortable amount. And your turtle jumps really high in the air, but it's like uncontrolled. Like it feels fast and slippery. So
yeah, you can hold one direction or the other, but it just doesn't seem mm-hmm. that you can tell how far you're going to go when you're flipping up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing ninjas are good at jumping because turtles definitely aren't. So maybe they factored that in. You can jump high, but it's completely uncontrollable.
Yeah. But
my guess.
And when you're in the platform stages and also on the map stages, you can switch between the four turtles, which mm-hmm. is a fun little feature. And they each have their strengths and weaknesses. Leonardo kind of has the best attack. Donatello is strong but slow.
Donatello, I think, has the longest attack.
I would say, like, it doesn't matter which one you use as long as you're using Donatello, because you can just swing your bow out and hit any enemy on the screen.
It doesn't matter which one you use as long as you're using Donatello.
Yeah, because the other three suck pretty bad, and Donatello sucks slightly less than them.
I'll tell you right now, Raphael was completely useless.
Oh, yeah, his tiny little
size.
Yeah.
Awful. Who's he fooling with those things?
Little micro weapons.
Yeah, Raphael is basically only useful if, like,
everyone else is dead.
Yeah, which, yeah.
Well, he's the one you use on the water stages, because you can run down his life.
Oh, yes. Nice. Look at this guy. Strategery.
Mm-hmm. But the trick is you run down their life, but you don't let them die, because if they die, they are almost impossible to revive. Like, the only way The only way to revive a turtle is that you can rescue them from, like, a warehouse in level 3 and I think level 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was reading in the manual that they get captured, mm-hmm. quote unquote, and then you can go find them.
Yeah, but the thing is, where, if I remember correctly, where they are hidden is really, like, ass out of the way. Like, it's
so
like
you have to use the overworld map to then go somewhere else, mm-hmm. that you shouldn't be going.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, it's way better to just leave them alive with, like, one life bar, and then just don't use them until you can find some pizza to restore their health.
Yeah, strangely enough, pizza is what you use to restore health in this game.
I mean, that's canon with the comics and TV show.
I know. They sourced the fan base just to make sure they got everything right. I think they had a continuity editor as they were making this, making sure that none of the threads got too out of control.
They almost, they originally had antibiotics and chicken soup, but they had to scratch that once they went into actual testing reviews.
Yep. I think there was a focus group. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Now that the continuity thing is a point of contention with people like the Angry Video Game Nerd and a couple other people on the internet, because in this game you are fighting things like giant mutant frogs and guys on fire, like,
mm-hmm. also a fire freak. He's an ex-pyromaniac from Brooklyn. This hot dog takes careful aim before launching fireballs that turn into clones of himself.
Someone's been reading the manual.
Now, at least according to... I could only find one kind of sort of article about the development of this game. And it was on a site called Hardcore Gamer. I'll try to link to it. But at least according to them, this game was actually... It started development in 1987. Which is also kind of when the animated show was coming out. So as source documents, all they had was the comics and, like, the first episode or two, like the concept art for the animated show. So they tried to blend those two. So that's kind of why this game kind of has, like, a weird feel to it, definitely, like, with the enemies.
Yeah, there are some weird ones.
Well, even right from the cover, you know something's up, because on the cover itself, this is what kind of threw me as a kid. This was a frequent rental for me. But when you see the cover in the local Blockbusters, all four Ninja Turtles are wearing red bandanas. Mm-hmm. They don't have their own personal colors.
Yep, and again, this is a comic book thing.
Exactly. The cover is a cover from the comic book, and I believe, you know, I'm not a comic book expert here. I'm mainly seeing the TV show, but in the comic book, they do all have the red color.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I thought the comic book was black and white.
It is black and white, except for the covers.
Good point.
yeah, there's weird stuff going on like that. Although, oddly, the Japanese version of this game came out before the NES version, before the American version, and it was just an odd quirk. This is the first Ninja Turtles thing that was ever in Japan.
I was gonna say, were they big in Japan? And I'm guessing no.
No. This was the first thing, and
they just called them Teenage Mutant Turtles.
Oh, it was assumed.
But the box art for the Japanese game is correct. Like it has.
Oh.
It has them with the proper colors.
That's even.
You got a linky for that one?
Yes.
Clickety clack.
I will have to link it. Actually, this is right now. I'm sharing box art from the second one.
Oh, come on, man.
Let me see if I can find the first one.
God.
Sorry. This will shock you, but there has been a lot of Ninja Turtles video games.
I don't know about that.
Okay, I found it. There we go. But
would you like to pronounce that, Deep?
Ooh. Like how... mm-hmm. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
Language expert.
Now, this one does look like it's taken straight from the TV show.
Yeah.
And why understand. Are they on skateboards? Are there even skateboards in this game at all? They're all busting through a wall on skateboards.
No, well, I mean, there is not.
Cowabunga. It's the only explanation you need.
And also, in Europe, they are known as Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
Mm. Ninja is a racial slur in most of Europe.
Mm. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well,
and they say America's evil and racist.
Well, that's why they didn't put it in the title. I mean,
yeah, there was controversy because of the
controversy.
Ninja.
Yep, Harry Potter.
Now, what the original title used the other N word.
Oh.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Drawing a blank here.
Yeah, me too. So, anyways, because this was developed before the animated show was like a huge, huge deal. That's why you have a weird mixture of normal turtle stuff. Like you have the little robots.
The robot bird.
The mousers, man.
There you go. Mousers. Big mouser.
There we go. You have Bouncers, Krang is in this game, I believe, and Shredder is like the end boss.
Yeah.
The bosses are all kind of normal.
You got Bebop, you got Rocksteady.
Rocksteady, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got the Technodrome.
Mm-hmm.
You got, what is that, Mecha Turtle?
you got Mecha Turtle.
You got Big Mouser.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Shredder.
Yeah, but these stick-em-up things, these little weird, all-legs, spiky roof...
A.K.A. climbing. The Roof Leaper.
Yeah, those were weird as hell.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's just a lot of weird enemies in this one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Guy on Fire is definitely the most noticeable of the weird enemies, but...
Yeah, there was like a dude with a chainsaw, too, like a Jason kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's that all about?
I forgot Chainsaw Guy.
Definitely wasn't Casey Jones, the other hockey mask wearing hero man, but just a straight up chainsaw maniac running around the sewers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Very strange.
Mm-hmm.
That was one guy that I, as a young boy playing this game, I could never get past those chainsaw guys.
Really?
Yeah.
They're pretty slow.
You know.
They're slow. Oh,
there's one spot where you have to go up a ladder, and he's at the top of the ladder and will not get out of the way from the top of the ladder.
Yes.
Yeah, I got stuck there.
That is a constant in this game.
Yeah, getting stuck on ladders. Or the worst was when you are going down and an enemy is immediately there and you can't like jump off or you can't go down fast enough and they just run into you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have no reaction time.
Yeah. And, oh, God. And as the nerd brings up in his video, there are certain jumps that are almost impossible in this game.
Mm.
And then you realize, oh, wait, I can just walk over it. If there's a gap of one square, you can just walk over it.
And if you try to jump, you'll bump your head on the ceiling and fall in the middle.
Yes.
Yeah, there's like spikes on the ceiling for most of this game, mm-hmm. too.
And confusingly, you will fall into water, and you can't. The turtle thrashes about as if he's going to drown, except he's a turtle. Like, the one thing. There's an entire level where you swim in this game.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're underwater for 2.5 minutes at one point.
Yeah.
Later on.
Oh, God.
I guess he must have ate the anchovy pizza. Gives him special powers.
There's weird stuff like that going on in this game. But I don't know. The first stage, you know, it is a lot of fun to me. Like,
Mm-hmm.
That first stage is fun. Then from there, it's just rapidly downhill.
Yeah, I could tell that there is potential here if they just chilled the hell out with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just let us ease into this thing.
Yeah. Just ease right into it.
Slide on in. Level 1.
And we didn't have a Huel's Track Tracks because this is not a...
It's not a race. No.
No, not a racing game.
Although, you do get to drive the party wagon.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That is a fun part. So one of the overworlds, you're driving around that turtle van.
Yeah.
With all the guns and craziness on it.
Yeah, it's the aforementioned third stage, which is annoying because also to beat that third stage, you need to find missiles for the party van.
Yes.
So that you can break down a barrier.
Apparently didn't bring any. Brought the missile launcher, but forgot the missiles.
Oh, damn. Isn't that how it always goes?
Every time. It's where they got the idea for Deadpool.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I brought up the track tracks because the music for this game is pretty good.
Superb.
This has some of the
best music in video game history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things. In my humble opinion. Of course. That's one of the things I knew about it before playing it is that the music is amazing.
Yeah, I've had the side scrolling stage music. That's been my ringtone for the past 10 years.
What?
Wow.
That's dedication.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it's dragging and dropping a file and changing a setting on a phone.
That you haven't done for 10 years.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. Well, you know, these Apple iPod phones, they make it easy nowadays. They just import your settings from your previous phone.
It's very true. Apple iPod phones. Pretty good.
This just in. the only thing I find annoying about the music is the fact that it will drive you insane as you attempt to play. Because it's very much I think they're either 30 or 60 second loops, all of the songs. So if you're mm-hmm.
good ringtone length.
Yep. Oh really? Do people use this as a ringtone?
Is there any examples of why that would be?
Well.
But no, I just remember I got so frustrated with this game as a kid. Like, the furthest I ever got was, I got to the Technodrome once.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, which I think is...
That is pretty amazing.
Which I think is level 5 out of 6. Maybe it's 6 out of 6.
Looking at the manual, yeah, that's like the last level.
And, the only way I got that far was because there is one weapon in this game that is overpowered, which is the scroll. You can't get it until stage 3. And the way most people actually beat this game is there's one spot in stage 3 where you can just exit and enter and get like 99 scrolls for each turtle. And then they just use that as like their primary weapon for the rest of the game.
Interesting.
Which I did one time, and that's how I get to level 5. Except... It doesn't really matter because there are still so many spike traps and instant death things in the later stages that you still have to make all these precision jumps while enemies are attacking you, and it's still impossible, and that I can't beat it.
Just killing them wasn't enough.
Yeah, it's like a bad horror movie.
Just when you think.
He thought killing them was enough.
Until one day, there were spikes on the ceiling.
So I don't know, Brisket. How'd you do in this one? How far did you get?
Oh man, you know I can't beat this thing past level 2. Once I get swimming, it's game over.
Oh wow. No, I
and as a frequent rental. Well, here's the thing. As a kid, I see the futility in trying to beat this game way ahead of time once I get to level 2 and can't beat it. So I kind of gave up on it. Even though it was a frequent rental, I just love them Ninja Turtles so much. Love playing as my boy Michelangelo and Leonardo, and switching between them with their different weapons. Mm-hmm. But then once it got to stage 2, it's like, okay, let's take this back to Blockbuster.
Just wanted to hear that music one more time.
Yeah.
Well, maybe to segue into the series history a little bit here now, just because after that first effort, the Ninja Turtles video game series went in vastly different directions. The sequel for the NES was based on the first game for the arcade, and it was glorious.
Oh yes, and as a multi-child household, that one was preferred because it's two people playing at the same time.
Yeah, I had that game as well, and it was up there along with like the Simpsons arcade game as like best beat 'em up based on like something in your childhood. So it was followed by a third good game for the NES, the Manhattan Project, I believe it was called, and then the pinnacle of the Turtle series, at least in my opinion, Turtles in Time.
Oh yes, that's a glorious game.
Mm-hmm. It came out for the Super Nintendo in August of 1992, and it was basically an arcade beat-em-up. I believe, I'm not sure if you could get 4 players. You could definitely get at least 2 players on it, but it was, oh god, it was such a good game. Since that effort, there have been a slew of Turtles games every few years, mostly keeping with the beat-em-up or fighting game styles. However, much like the Turtles themselves, they have not been that impressive since the early 1990s. So
biting social commentary.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think Michael Bay is still doing the current Turtles, and you know,
he's like a producer.
It's kind of like, all right, well, I'm sure kids still probably kind of like them, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I loved them as a kid, but I have no interest in anything they have to do now.
They are still a big deal. They do still have a TV show going on.
I mean, they come back like every
in movies.
5 or 6 years. I mean, even before the Michael Bay ones, there was like the animated movie, and they had like a show. Like, so they come back every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a new batch of kids comes along, mesmerized by these humanoid fighting turtles.
I guess it's kind of similar to Power Rangers in a way, where Power Rangers, I think, is still kicking.
Is it really like a show still, though? Because they're doing that movie, and I think that's more for like people our age that watched it as a kid, and then they're trying to bring us back.
It is, but
like Turtles kind of just was always kind of there.
It is, but I feel like, you know, that happened with Turtles as well, with the Michael Bay reboot. Like that, the Michael Bay one wasn't really aimed. Yeah, it was aimed at kids a little bit, but it was also like, you know, I think they were expecting like millennials to go and 30-year-olds.
Brewed up a big batch of member berries.
Member Megan Fox?
Member? it's still blowing my mind that I didn't play these as a kid. Like everything lined up for me to have this, and it's just it's weird that it never happened.
Did you play any of the games in the series?
No.
Wow, that's shocking.
No time turrets. No arcade. Just none of it.
Like, cause
I might have played the arcade once in a while, but like none of the console ones.
Wow. That is
it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, especially since, like, you know, I wouldn't say this is the world's greatest game, but you know, it's not so horrible that it's not Home Alone. Like, that's what we're saying. Like,
That's tough. It's tough to
or
match.
yeah, or like those notoriously bad like tie-in games like Wayne's World or Bebe's
Oh yeah.
Kids.
Again with the Baby's Kids.
Like this is a perfectly average
Baby's
game.
Kids is your Shaq Fu.
Oh, I've never actually played it. I just know it as a.
Oh.
Sorry, I just know it as.
He just has the movie memorized. Line by line.
I just remember like GamePro and Nintendo Power would like never give games ones, and they both gave that like a one. So.
That's so good.
So I don't know. Did you guys have any other thoughts here on the turtles?
I was asked a few weeks ago what makes a good manual. I'm not saying this is the pinnacle, but this hits all the right spots here. This NES one. You got descriptions of the characters. You got an intro to the plot right off the bat. You're like, there's some stuff going on.
You got some a little bit of humor in there.
It's got that turtle humor. Everyone loves them eating pizza. It shows you the level layout. You got the items you can use, and then enemy
Got
descriptions.
some artwork in there.
Yeah, enemy descriptions with their illustrations. I mean, this is a prime example. Not the top, not the pinnacle, not the greatest, but a prime example.
This is a good
Yeah,
baseline manual.
this is the I don't want to call it Mendoza line, but similar.
Oh no. Well, the Mendoza line means like the bare
Bare
basics.
minimum, just
Bare
to be
minimum.
in the league.
Yeah. I would, Huel, if you have the manual open,
Course.
I would like you to
I
read.
have all my manuals strewn about every time we record, much like how you prepare for every possible episode,
Yes.
in case we're interrupted.
Well, the backup I prepared tonight was it was for Chuck Rock, but we won't need to use that. I would like you to read the little bit of story on page 4, if you could, of the manual.
Oh, okay. So this comes from my intro. Prepare to shell out some punishment. Steam rises from Wall Street sewers like hot breath from a pack of wild dogs. Just below the pavement's puddle-strewn surface, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, registered trademark, have gathered around the leftovers of a family reunion-sized sausage pizza with extra sauce. Usually these party dudes would inhale the mozzarella platter as if it were their last za on Earth, but
Yes.
not tonight. You see, only hours ago, their trusted friend, April Trademark, was kidnapped from her mobile news van by the vile, ruthless, terrorist bully Shredder Trademark. He's a slice-o-matic crumb, a villain more vicious than an army of mind-altered Bruce Lees. With their lovely cohort held hostage, the fearless foursome must concoct a way to rescue April before Shredder brainwashes her into joining his ninjutsu foot clan, which I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so either, but
They'll
and
combine
why
his
would he anyway?
I feel like she's more valuable as a hostage. They'll continue this treacherous task with the mission they've been on since their mutated beginnings, to thrash Shredder and capture his life transformer gun. Don't know what that is either. The lone piece of technology that can turn their rat friend, Splinter Trademark, back into his man, the man he used to be. So take control of these heroes in their half shell, and either claim total victory over New York's premier kick man, or lead them onto the menu at McTurnals, home of the quarter flounder with cheese.
Nice. Love the puns. Love the puns.
Look at
But
these
so
puns.
apparently, when you win this game, do you turn Splinter back into a human? Is that
You
what the goal of the
certainly
game is?
do.
You do. I've never seen the ending.
Yeah, in the video I watched, for some reason, that's the goal of the game. Like, this is one of those like progressive plot games where you're like, oh, the goal here is to rescue April, but once you rescue April, you find out Splinter's been kidnapped. So, oh, it's time to rescue Splinter. Once you rescue Splinter, you find out the Technodrome is drilling around down underneath the city. So then you got to go do that and find the life transformer gun.
Yes.
To turn Splinter back into a human.
It's apparently there is a one or two episode arc plan for the Ninja Turtles animated show about that. But I don't think they actually get to use it on Splinter, or that he decides, I need to stay as a rat or something like that.
Yeah. I like it better. I like having that tail.
And at least according to the history that Hardcore Gamer had, in Japan, apparently there were some translation difficulties, and they were under the assumption that April was Splinter's daughter somehow.
I like that.
Yeah.
So, they dropped that in the future games though. So
they made it about incest then.
Oh jeez,
I don't think they bang.
Incest and bestiality. What are they into over there?
No, it was not like that. But oh god, wish we could get one.
Also, not a fan of the quarter flounder with cheese pun. Because these are turtles, not fish, so
yeah,
don't quite follow that one.
Well, you know, I like that on page 15, there are four lines to write down your scores.
Oh,
right under the compliance with FCC regulations warning.
Well, I mean, gotta make sure you're following the rules here.
And also, this, as I mentioned at the top, this game was actually made by Konami, but back in the day, Nintendo had quotas for game developers and publishers. So Konami got permission to have a secondary imprint called Ultra Games that they did more games on. So,
yeah, you were allowed to have a maximum number of games per year produced or developed.
Yep.
Produced/developed.
So this was technically published, I think, by Ultra Games, which
yeah, it says that on the front front of the menu.
Yep,
got to protect that seal of quality.
Good times. So I don't know. Did you have anything else you wanted to share on this game, Huel?
Nope, the manual was my thing.
Okay. How about you there, Todd?
No. The only thing I'll share is if you were to play a Ninja Turtle game, don't play this one. Play Turtles in Time. At this point in the Turtles video game career, if you're going for a retro game, pick up that Turtles in Time. You'll be happy. Don't play this one, even though it is a quote classic.
Yeah, definitely. Turtles in Time is definitely the one that holds up the best. Although there is a remake of that that came out in like 2011 or 2012 that is not as good. So don't get that one. Well, good times. I just noticed that that Ultra Games, published out of 240 Jerry Street in Wooddale, Illinois.
Totally not made up.
But it's a real address, but it doesn't look like they're there anymore, unfortunately. It's just a big warehouse now.
It's empty cartridges strewn about.
It's near NEP Electronics, Madden Communications, and NGK Spark Plugs USA.
Ooh. Huh.
So,
I've been needing some spark plugs, so I'll call them up.
All right, then. I'm glad we could help you. All right. Well, on that note, I think we should continue right along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails this week?
I did receive an email.
Oh.
And they write, "Hey, you fellas, thanks for answering my ask last week. Got another one for you. If you were to redo, do over, give a mulligan, you know, do a remake, any game from your youth, what would it be? As a side note, if you could answer this before my next pitch meeting at the office, it'd be greatly appreciated. Your pal, Jimmy Blizzard."
Man. Jimmy's always needing advice here.
Yeah. Jimmy Blizzard's just hammering us with questions lately.
Don't know why. I mean,
yeah. I'm fine with that. Huh. He has some good asks.
It's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's on my mind because we just played it right now, but Ninja Turtles pretty good.
Come on. I mean, Steve, you might be, it might be in your interest to check out some of the more recent Ninja Turtle games because they do kind of have the same, they're like an open world beat 'em up and they're pretty decent. So I'd say check those out.
Maybe I will.
It's hard to say what's a remake versus like just the next installment in a series. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is it like a one-off that we're trying to make an updated version to?
Yeah, from what I was getting is maybe it's any game from your youth that you think might be deserving of a remake treatment.
No, I thought it was saying like Damashek's thing where we're always remaking good movies from the past when really we should be like remaking like Cheaper by the Dozen.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that as well. That's another hot take on this question.
Like a good game that just didn't.
Or maybe. No, and Steve's saying a bad game that has potential to be good if it were made correctly.
So a good game that just wasn't good enough.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I do have an answer for this, but it's yet another game we've already covered, which would be EVO, the search.
That's a good one.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I feel like either you could even keep the same style, just add like, you know, now if you were redoing that as a 2D platformer, like you could put so many more options for animals.
Yeah, like it could
you
be
could
like.
Improve the gameplay a little bit too on that one.
It could even be 3D graphics in a side-scrolling format.
Mm-hmm. Oh God! Imagine if there was an open world EVO.
Oh my!
Red.
Oh my God!
Red Dead Redemption, except you get to play as the horse.
Ooh! And you get to like grow.
Give me some tentacles.
Get your fifth leg going out there, man.
Give me three penises. Not even two.
I don't know why you had to go blue. I mean,
I was thinking of Pippins.
Aren't you always?
Yeah, that's true. Oh my gosh.
Well, my answer for this one is also going to be a game that we covered. It was a good game, in my opinion. But I think that if they remade it, added a little bit more gameplay to it, expanded it, made it deeper, more story-driven. How about a little ActRaiser reboot?
Oh.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, definitely. That's a fun little game. Wow.
I'd say so.
Mm. Well, did you have one there, Huel?
Probably make a pretty cool Pac-Man. eat them dots.
All right,
chase them ghosts.
All right.
But you're like a corrupt cop.
Yeah.
And the ghosts are your former partners that turn on you.
So,
but then you instead of finding the flashing white pill, you find the evidence that can put them away, and then you're chasing them.
So yet again, on another episode of YPB, it comes back to the fact that you want a deep, deep story-driven element in your gameplay.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want just Pac-Man. You want...
Yeah. Mrs. Pac-Man left with the little Pac babies a couple years ago.
And
he's in your rundown apartment shooting up the H.
No, he's gobbling pills. That's what they are. He's chasing those pills to try to find the truth. That's all he can do to just to get out of bed in the morning.
Maybe every once in a while a dragon can pop up on the screen and you have to chase that.
Ooh, so you should have Matthew McConaughey do the voice of Pac-Man in this one.
Oh, man. Woody Harrelson plays Inky.
Yeah.
This could work. This could work. Don't air this.
Okay, well, I'll make sure to clip this part out. Well, Huel, did you receive any emails this week?
There was one email when I checked my inbox today. Mm-hmm. And the writer of that email is ScooterBot42.
Oh, Scooty.
Scoots.
Steven, did you get a ScooterBot email?
Oh, I did not this week.
Oh, he must have wised up then. Let's find out why. Dear Huel, please don't worry. Sure, I wrote to Steve last week, but that's just because I didn't want to overwhelm you with too many questions. I know you have to be really busy with all your huge business successes, which leads to you dating all those supermodels, a different one each week, leaving you precious little time to read more than any one of my questions each week. Mm. Yes, mm-hmm. That's definitely what's been happening. Anyway, if you could become a ninja animal, what would it be? Sincerely, ScooterBot42.
Ooh. This is a great and coincidental
ask. He got lucky this week. Huh. So, a ninja animal.
Hmm.
Any thoughts?
Well, he asked you, right? He didn't ask me
he did say Dear Huel, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, you guys can weigh in. I mean, I'm not gonna deny the listeners. But my choice, I mean, not every ninja has to fight. Not every ninja has to be out there slashing and bopping people with sticks. So I chose a ninja sloth. I feel like I could just meditate and, look inward, look outward, look to the world, and not have to move very much.
Yeah. I mean, he'll kind of blend into the background. He doesn't have any sudden movements.
Yeah, I mean, ninjas are good at stealth, so I feel like that would be his strong point, you know?
I feel like I would be I would just be a ninja person.
Wonder he only asked me.
Like, why? I mean, we're top of the food chain for a reason. Because we're smart. I don't want to be. I want to be some ninja bear,
ninja elephant. Ooh.
Yeah,
they are bigger.
Not having thumbs.
Yeah, how are you going to hold your kunais, man?
Your what?
Yeah, how are you going to hold your size? How are you going to hold nunchucks with no thumbs?
Yeah, how them nunchucks going to be used, them nunchucks?
The turtles pulled it off. I don't know.
Oh, well,
that's because they were mutated.
Yeah.
Oh.
You just said a ninja animal, right?
Yeah.
That's what Scooty was asking.
He didn't say anything about the ooze.
Yeah. No ooze here for these ninjas.
Mentioned nothing about the ooze. Yeah. That is an oversight.
What animal in the world has opposable thumbs besides man and monkey? Man and ape, his fellow animal.
I think raccoons do.
Oh.
They have weird-ass hands.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, who wants to be a raccoon?
No one.
Yeah, raccoons don't even want to be raccoons.
That's why they eat garbage to try to kill themselves. Mm-hmm. So I've been told.
Yep. Well, I received one email this week.
Todd never answered.
Oh, he didn't?
Ninja Dingo.
Okay.
Okay.
Glad all I need to know.
Glad you got that answer now.
Yes.
but speaking of Todd.
Oh.
Hey, Todd, I keep forgetting to write in and ask, how many DuckTales of excitement do you have for the new DuckTales show?
Oh.
Best wishes this Christmas, Paul Lynn.
Oh,
nice.
That friend of the show, Paul. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many DuckTales of excitement? You know what? I have not I've heard they've had the cast announcements. I have not seen any previews or anything. I know that there's some SNL people as the voice actors, but I have not read up on the latest.
Oh, like DuckTales. Dana Carvey and Mike Myers.
Those fresh-faced youngsters.
John Lovitz.
They're getting Dan Aykroyd to be Scrooge.
Oh, nice. That fits.
Mm-hmm. From what the voice cast announcements have been, it looks like it's promising. Have not seen any animation yet, so I can't give it any DuckTales yet. I can't prematurely hand out DuckTales.
But since never mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
a half engorged DuckTale.
DuckTales don't get engorged.
I'll say the plumage is ruffling on this DuckTale, right?
It's moving. There's movement.
But I will say it was blowing up Facebook last week that I noticed. Like they had the cast did a rendition of the classic DuckTales theme song. So
I completely missed this.
Oh yeah, and it's the cast does have Bobby Moynihan from SNL, Danny Pudi from Community, and one of them Doctor Who guys, David Tennant, I think his name is.
It seems like a downgrade for him.
It kind of does. I'm not gonna lie. He is playing Scrooge McDuck, which is, I guess, like the best role that you can get. I don't know. There's a bunch of it's basically a whole bunch of people the internet loves. So.
Oh, okay.
Kate Minucci.
From, Minucci.
The petite lady from Garfunkel and Oates.
The bug-eyed one.
Yamanuchi.
Yes, she is quite bug-eyed. I don't know. The online
They're gonna play that well into her character on this DuckTales show.
I have no doubts.
Mm-hmm. Wikipedia says that she is 5'2", and I don't think I believe that. She is a very tiny person. But
I know from experience.
No, you don't.
Yeah, but he knows a guy who knows from experience.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, but you can imagine if he did.
Okay, pal.
That's a wonderful reenactment.
Thanks for finishing that off for me.
of Billy Madison.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Movie really hot with the kids.
Completely off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. all right. Well, I guess I'm excited for the new DuckTales and TBD for TB. So, again, though, speaking of you, Todd, is there any asks for the Sweet Boys this week?
You know what? We have an ask.
Oh.
So it's time to ask the Sweet Boys. If you have any questions about life, sex, love, relationships, or any other subject that has been troubling you, then please write in to us at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with the subject ask, followed by your question. Remember, we will always keep your questions anonymous unless otherwise requested. And this one comes from Not Anonymous.
Oh.
They specifically requested that anybody that has answers to their questions besides us write their responses to them to their email, which is foodlover69@yahoo.com.
Oh, who could this be?
All right, so they write. Now I'm going to read this one. I did it a couple weeks ago. I'm going to read this in an assumed accent.
Okay.
All right, so here they write. Do you like grits? How like made? One, light, medium, or a lot of butter? Two, like gravy in your grits. 3. Ever add any finely cut meats to grits? 4. Like your grits more watery or well done and more dry? 5. Do you eat grits often? 6. Like a lot of salt or spices in your grits? 7. Do you add eggs to your grits often? 8. Do you feel full after eating grits? 9. When you eat grits, is a little or do you have multiple servings? 10. Butter, margarine, or cream cheese for your grits you like? 11.
Oh no.
Like cheesy grits or cheesy eggs in grits? And that's the end of their ask.
Oh,
so what do you guys think about this ask?
Well, let's go down them one by one. I mean,
well, if you we can go line by line if you.
No, I don't think so. Wow. I mean, I can only imagine this is a personal ad. They're trying to make sure.
Oh, like an encoded message?
No, I mean, just like, this is what I'm looking for in a man. You must answer these questions. Oh. Or woman. I don't know who the writer is, actually. So that's what sounded like to me.
There's
like
you really have to be, whenever you're choosing a mate, not just a lover, a mate. Someone you're going to
life mate.
You're going to spend the sunset of your life with.
You're gonna cross your DNA together.
You have to find somebody that is on the same wavelength about grits.
Or at least just something you're passionate about. And it's very clear this writer is passionate about grits. Was it Food Lover 69?
Yeah, foodlover69@yahoo.com.
Jesus.
Oof.
I like my grits both salty and egg filled.
Oh.
I think that was part of the question.
Yes.
Little bits of meat, I think, was another part. So, yeah, just put it all in. Put it all in there. Shove it in.
Spin the wheel on those grits.
Yeah. Surprise me, food lover. 69.
I don't think I'm alone in saying that grits are disgusting and you are subhuman if you eat them. So.
Oh.
This northern elitist.
Harsh words.
This blue state.
Hey, you know what?
Bastard.
If you want some grits, why don't you just eat some goddamn potatoes like a normal human being?
Why don't you make a web series about it and go watch Hamilton?
You know what? Potatoes go great with Hamilton. Grits don't.
Ugh. Maybe I'll drink wine. Whatever happened to a good old Bud Light, man?
Yeah, drink some of that Bud Light Lime. You know that Bud Light Lime?
I don't want any of that, man.
Well,
just give me tall boy.
What are what's your grits answer there?
You know what? I'll keep it nice and simple. Give me a little grit, little butter, little salt, and a tiny bit of cheese, and you're good to go.
Okay, then.
So I hope that I don't. Maybe this is a way that Food Lover 69 is trying to filter us out.
Oh,
they're trying to decide which one to. First of all, you ever heard that game called? I'm gonna keep it censored for the kids. It's called F, Marry, Kill.
Oh,
maybe that's what he's trying to do with us.
I think I figured out who the kill is.
Yeah, I think we know. I think based on these responses so far, we know who the kill is.
Well, listen, I'd rather die than eat any of those goddamn grits.
Or have sex with Food Lover 69.
Oh, definitely not. Listen, I might be going out on a limb here, but someone named Food Lover 69 might not be the easiest person on the eyes. It's not diet.
Let's just say
it's not Diet Lover 69.
They might not just be limiting food to the kitchen.
Oh, geez, that's even worse.
Might be introduced in other parts of the house.
I mean, I don't want that in my bed. Come on, I'm gonna sleep there at some point.
Oh, he was talking about the kitchen table. What were you talking about?
It was a dining room. You can eat in the living room in front of the TV. Go on your porch. Get a nice summer breeze.
So.
Yeah, hope that ask was hope that ask was covered.
Yeah, and everybody send your responses into foodlover69 yahoo.com.
Yahoo.com. Send them on in.
All right then. So Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Thanks. You guys have excelled my skills.
Deep.
Think about that one for a while.
How about you there, Todd?
Wise men say, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Oh, that's a good one. All right, and on that note, next week's show is going to be a star-studded gala extravaganza for the second year in a row, the 2016 YPB Awards. Here's a snifferoo.
Just think, down there between New York and L.A. are all the people that go to my movies.
Look, Paul, the 925 to Hollywood.
Yep, those are the folks who fill our lives with blockbuster movies, moronic situation comedies, award shows where award shows win awards. Get my gun, boy.
I don't know what I'm going to play for the...
So next year is the second year of the 2016 year-end awards.
Oh yeah, we'll just end.
That's the way I heard it.
Whatever.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
classic Steege ending.
Yeah, you can't win them all, or some,
or any.
Yeah.
Oh.